This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Christianity is experiencing a lifelong walk with Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you promised that when you went away, you would send the Holy Spirit, and that he would lead us into all of the truth. Father, we pray today, when we are so often confused, that we may sense your Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word, and that day by day he may guide us and lead us and convict us and finally bring us to the throne of grace, which is standing beneath the cross of Christ. Help us as we study this portion of your word today, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 16th chapter according to St. John, beginning at verse 5. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt, in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father, and there you cannot see me any longer, and in regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, I was sitting in my study one day when a person came by and asked if I could, in a few minutes, tell him what Christianity is. And so we sat down and visited. I knew the young man very well, had been in his home many, many a time. He said, "Well, you know what Dad and Mom are like. I was born, and they brought me to the church, and I was baptized. And every Sunday, after I got to be about 3 years of age, I was in Sunday school and church. And we had the Bible reading at home. I don't think we can say we had it every Sunday, but it was often that the Bible was taken out, and we discussed what it had to say. My father and mother both taught me how to pray, and I went through confirmation class, and I was confirmed, and it was a great day. And then I graduated from high school, and I still had been comparatively active in the church, though it was getting to be harder all the time. I went away to college, and when I got to college, I have to admit that going to church was not a priority item as far as my activities were concerned. And pretty soon I really wasn't going to church except when I went home on weekends or vacations. I didn't have to tell my mother and father that. They knew it. And obviously they were very critical of the university and what it had done to my faith. And here's why I'm in your office today. I'm not critical of the university. I don't think that every one of my professors there are confessing Christians. But I neither believe that any of those that I have had anyway have for one purpose and one purpose only, to destroy my relationship with God. I think that I am what I am because I have not really come to understand what Christianity is, and I need some help. Quickly, I walked through the basics of the Christian faith with him. And I said, you are created in the image of God. And because you have a will that is being a part of the image of God, you have a right to say, well, God, now that I'm at the university, I'm not going to be quite as interested in you as I was when I was a kid, but I think I'll pick it up later on when I get out on my own and have my own family. That you had a right to do. So you are a sinner, and it is by nature. But Jesus Christ did not want you to be discarded from the presence of your Heavenly Father. You now are out of a relationship with God unless someone brings you back into that relationship. So God sends into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who at the cross of Calvary died for your sins and paid the price for them. And here it is, if by God's grace you will receive him as your Savior and your Lord, your sins are forgiven, and you are brought into a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, those are the basics, I said to the young man. If God gives you the strength to receive Jesus Christ, and you pray that he will come into your life, you have taken the first step into a personal relationship with the Lord. But here's the point. This is only the beginning. Christianity is more than simply knowing the facts about God's love for us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Here it is. Christianity is a lifelong experience with Jesus Christ. It is not just a lesson that you and I have learned. And this is not to belittle all the good Christian education you had in your home and in your church. But Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit will walk through life with you, and you will have one experience after another with Jesus. And that's the thrilling part of the Christian life. As we continue our study on the Holy Spirit, listen to these words of our Lord as he was preparing to leave his departure to be again with his Father in heaven. In verse 5, he says to them, I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? In other words, he was going back to the Father. He had been on this earth for 33 years. His act of redemption had been completed. He had been crucified, paid the price for the sins of the world, and had been raised. Now it's time for him to go back. But he said, it is for your advantage that I do go back. They were standing there, sad because they were losing one who had walked with them so faithfully, and they had such a cozy time. If I stayed here, I could only be with you. But God the Father wants every person in this world to have that same opportunity of being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when I return to the Father, then I am going to send the Counselor to you. And when he comes, it will be the beginning of that experience with you as long as you live. He will be standing there, directing you, guiding you, helping you in whatever way he possibly can. Now today, the Lord Jesus gives us an example of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And you notice in this portion that we have read, when he comes to you, what is the first thing he is going to do? He will convict the world, and you're a part of that world. He will convict the world, you and me, of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Now take a look at that, friend. And this is where we find ourselves today. The Holy Spirit, this is basic Christianity. This is what the young man had to know in order that he could enter into that living experience. He had to experience it. It was not just that once again, I as a teacher on that particular time would be educating him or reaffirming that which already he knew. But he has got to experience it. The Holy Spirit has got to take this word and Let it be known to him. You are a sinner. Now, that is not something that you will get in most of society today, for that is not what our culture teaches. In other words, the culture of which we are a part do not want to hear that because they say it creates guilt. And here in the portion of God's word that is read for us today, this is exactly what God wants to happen. He wants me, when I look at myself apart from Jesus Christ, to understand that I have broken the law of God and I am guilty. Our culture would rather have us say, we are not such bad people. We live as our society suggests that we live. It's a natural thing that I don't always do exactly what the Bible has to say. This is a way that that we are trained to go. And when we do something that is wrong, then we can rationalize why we did it and excuse ourselves and blame someone else for why we act as we do. This is the human being. I am a sinner. That's an experience of walking every day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from what St. Paul says in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all men have sinned. And he repeats it in verse 19 of that same fifth chapter of Romans. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many will be made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. You see, when Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil, and they went contrary to the will of God, a creation that had been perfect was now broken. And so everything within that creation is apart from God until it is restored into fellowship by Jesus Christ and our saving faith in him. I am guilty. I need a Savior. That's what is being said to us today. Let's take a look at a couple of the biblical characters. Here is Peter. Peter one day finally experienced what it was to be guilty. Only minutes before, he had said to the Lord, I'll never leave you. Even if they all go away, I'll never leave you. And then the few hours clicked by, and he was standing there in the courtyard of the high priest. And three times he had said, I don't know Jesus. That's a complete denial. Now notice what the Holy Spirit does, though he has not yet appeared for Pentecost, but he is nevertheless still there. He uses not words, but Jesus, look at Peter. Their eyes met, and Peter said, wow, I am a sinner. He had not only been taught verbally, he had experienced what it was to live contrary to the will of God, and he went out and wept bitterly. He was ready, because he had acknowledged his guilt, to meet a Savior who said, Peter, your sins are forgiven. He was able to understand that grace only after he had been completely knocked down by guilt. All of this is a work of the Holy Spirit. go back long, long before Jesus walked on this earth. And you come to that person by the name of David. David had sinned against God. He had committed murder of Uriah. He had taken his wife in adultery. And finally, God has to say to him, through the prophet Nathan, "You're the man. See what you have done. You had your wives. You weren't content with them. And so you committed adultery with another man's wife." What is his confession? His confession is this: "I have sinned against God." Now he is ready to hear the prophet say, "And the Lord has forgiven your sin." And then read the 32nd Psalm and other Psalms of David, who acknowledges his sin and his transgression that has been taken away from him. The Bible does not give us a very pretty picture of ourselves, no matter who we are. For example, in the 7th chapter of Romans, again, pretty clear: "I do not understand what I do, but what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, that's what I do." Not very pretty words, are they? "I'm a slave," it says, "to sin. That's my nature." No, by nature, I'm not such a nice person. That doesn't mean that we can't do a lot of good things. We do a lot of good things. The natural law of God is still written to some extent on our hearts, I believe. No, but I am an unspiritual man, sold to slavery. That's the picture. That's an experience of walking with God as his Holy Spirit is convicting me day in and day out. If we claim that we do not have sin, St. John tells us, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we ever conquer these sins? No. You can be sure we don't. But here is a bright spot. And as we draw to the end of this sermon, I could not but say, hear the gospel. And the gospel is this: that when I come grief-stricken as David and Peter did, not just doing lip service and saying, "I'm sorry, God," but from the depth of my heart, I cry out, "Lord, I have sinned." And then it is that he will say, "Your sins are forgiven." So we do not end this sermon today by heaping a lot of guilt on you. The Holy Spirit has led you to guilt, but if you will confess that sins, you are forgiven. For Christianity is a daily experience with Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit leads us into his presence, and he forgives sins. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, what a blessing it is to know that we do not walk through this life alone, but that your Holy Spirit accompanies us. He takes that word and applies it to our lives. He lets us know what wretched beings we can be. But he also tells us of that gracious forgiveness if we are in Christ. And it's good for us to know that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Come, Holy Spirit, and work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the world. To help meet our obligations for increased radio station costs, the Christian Crusaders Board has initiated the GEM Club as an invitation to help listeners. GEM Club members support this ministry with a regular monthly gift of any amount. With your help, we would like to restore radio stations that were recently discontinued for financial reasons and expand the ministry for Christ's sake and the world. Would you please consider a monthly gift of $5, $10, $15, $20, or more per month? For your convenience, we accept Visa and MasterCard donations. Please call or email our office for further information. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.